I'll tell you why I can't find you. Every time I go out to your place, you gone fishing.
Ah, you know.
Well, there's a sign upon your door.
Uh-huh.
Gone fishing.
I'm real gone, man.
You ain't working anymore.
Could be.
There's your hole out in the sun, where you left a row half done. You claim that hoeing ain't no fun.
But I can prove it.
You ain't got no ambition. Gone fishing by a shady, weighty pool.
Shangri-La. Really la.
I'm wishing I could be that kind of fool.
Shall I twist your arm?
I'd say no more work for mine.
Welcome to the club.
On my door I'd hang a sign. Gone fishing instead of just a wishing.
Doesn't that make you just want to go ba 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 boo? I don't know why, but you can't. How do you listen to that and not go, yeah, blah, 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 blah.
Even I got a little grin out of that one.
Yeah. Bing Crosby, Louis Armstrong. Let's see. We're radio fishing, talking tarpon. All right. Now, we have had, since we ended the other program, and between that and this one, we've been kind of admonished with there's actually quite a bit of tarpon around.
Yeah.
I mean, Vinny came in and said, oh man, they're blowing up all over, you know, just, you know, south of Ponce, you know, around over to Alligator Creek. Somebody else was talking about the reef, and then you were talking to Danny Latham. What'd Danny say?
Yeah, Danny's been finding them kind of hopscotched everywhere. You know, he says one day they're by Ponce, the next day they're in the mouth of the Myakka. Then later in the afternoon, they're moving up into the upper part of the Myakka towards Eljo Bean. Then the next morning, they're back down by the, between the Pirate Harbor Hole and Alligator Creek Reef. He said it's just, you're moving around a lot, but he says once you find them, they're eating really good. He had a six fish day on a half day charter yesterday, and like six or seven the day before that. You know, he's yeah. been putting some good fish around.
This is Captain Danny Latham.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And just his useless knowledge. I've known Danny since I guess he was 11 or 12 years old.
Yeah.
Picture him. I can. We gotta get these pictures up over there on the other side, but there's a. One picture around here somewhere, I hope it's still here, of Danny, 11 or 12 years old, in a white t-shirt with the red gym shorts on, sneakers.
With the two socks pulled up almost to the knees.
Yeah, with this big old bass, you know. He was a great kid. God, that's how I know that I've gotten old, because Danny's kids are going to college.
One already graduated.
Yeah, one already graduated college. Okay. Oh, and I knew I was working here when he was a little kid.
Terrifying, huh?
Yeah, yeah, more than that, way more than that. All right, but now we've heard about all these tarpon all over the place. Now, I'm hearing ladyfish.
Ladyfish are definitely the most prized bait to get them, but they're also like the hardest prized bait to find out there next to threadfins.
Really?
Yeah. Ladyfish are just not schooled up the way they normally do right now. I mean, and we can attest to that because, I mean, I've been ordering frozen ladyfish for, I think about 6 weeks now. I haven't been able to get them, so there's pretty much a tough shortage of them just about everywhere, wherever they're getting them from.
It kind of goes along with the point that, you know, while we are a little hard on commercial fishermen sometime, we do work hand in hand with the commercial fishing industry, and, you know, we try to work with people that we admire, you know, who understand you have to leave some to have some for
Absolutely.
Next year, and, the, you know, working with companies and groups that are a little more eco-minded, because if we take them all now, I'm out of business next year.
Right.
You know, we have to have a continuous source of bait and stuff in order to keep it going. I don't agree with all of the different stuff and all the different methods on some of them, but we try to work with people where we can that are doing good with this. But right now I have heard a little bit about ladyfish off Alligator Creek to Mangrove or Whorehouse Point there, you know, depending upon what map and what language you speak. And and a little bit there, but the only actual places I've actually heard that you have a good chance of catching them is down off of Jug Creek or possibly in front of Bull Bay.
Right. Yeah, Bull Bay to Cape Hayes seems to be where I've personally been hearing about with some moderate consistency.
Yeah, I don't really know what's going on with that, but ladyfish, if you can get live ones, dead ones,
people think they have to be live. It's like, nah, you just catch a couple fresh ones, throw them in your live well, and go to town.
But we're going to take it for probably you're not going to find the ladyfish.
Right.
Unless you're very, very lucky. And this is a matter of luck. This is not a matter of skill and ability. Because either you find them or you don't. You know, catching them is not a super tricky thing, but finding them is right now. So that brings us back to chunks of mullet. Now, mullet we still have in stock. You can. There's even some mullet out there. Not very big numbers of mullet this year, though. I mean, but you can buy mullet. So
when you've got tourists that only come down here for a week or two every year, going, I'm not seeing those fish that jump a lot. I'm not seeing them at all behind my house. I've been out on a boat ride, haven't really seen any. When you've got people that are only here for a week, 10 days at a time,
noticing
that there's probably a problem going on. You know, it's a little strange.
All right. Just a second. Go ahead, Robert. I'm trying to read a card here. No problem. Oh, yeah, okay. Bait company. Somebody wants to sell me something. Strange. Right. We'll be done in a few minutes, Steve. Let's see. But mullet chunks. Take a chunk of mullet now. When the mullet's laying on a board in front of you on the seat of the boat or the live well lid or whatever, to determine what we're talking about, what you would do is put your hand on it and the width of... Now, how big a chunk would you use? I'm thinking four fingers.
Well, yeah, I'm going to use at least my four fingers. Realistically, with the mullet that we have in there, honestly, I'm going to prefer to use them whole.
Use the whole ones.
I personally would, just because I know I'm going to reduce my catfish catch.
Right.
A little harder for them to get that whole thing in their mouth, even though they will swallow it.
All right. So what we've done is we're in a boat, and we've gone down around, and we're south of Ponceleon Park along that shoreline right as it turns to go towards Alligator Creek. Because that seems to be kind of the epicenter for everything. Because they've been kind of close to, you know, Alligator Creek. People have seen them over by ponds, out by the reef there. So I'm going to get out there and I'm going to say I'm going to be in about 8 feet of water and I'm just going to be drifting. Now, if the tide's going out towards the reef, I'm going to drift. If the tide's coming up where I'm running on the sandbar right away, I'm obviously going to go way out and drift back.
Yeah, but
I'm
going to drift. And work your way in. Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm going to take a float or a piece of balloon and try and put it so it's like 6 feet below the surface, or am I just going to drag it along with no weights on it?
I'm going to probably do one of each. I'm going to probably do one under a bobber or a balloon about 3 feet, and then the other one I'm just going to freeline.
Okay.
I seem to have good success both ways, so I usually like to experiment with both.
All right, here's the other question. Do you put one on with a sinker so it kind of drags along the bottom?
I don't too much, just because I always worry about them throwing the hook easier with that sinker on there. Even if I use a rubber core or a split shot, I still get a little worried sometimes. And as finicky as they've been lately, I want to best my odds personally of landing them.
I would say it's going to depend on the speed of the drift. If you've got a little bit of a breeze blowing, tide going the same way, you're going to have to weight that down.
Yeah, if not, it's going to skip right across the surface.
Yeah, otherwise it's going to be up right there on top. So you're gonna have to judge it by the speed of drift. If it seems to be staying, you know, down in the water good, I think you're okay with nothing on it. Now the same thing's gonna go with the balloon one. If the drift's too fast, get rid of the floats. If you have a bobber or a balloon on and all of a sudden you look back and you see your bait dragging there by the top, get rid of that float. Because if you're going too fast, you know, freelining it will keep it down the water a little bit, but if it's not going down far enough, you're gonna have to weight it to get it in there. And these are kind of judgment calls. I wish there was a rule book or something I could say that this is what is going to go down. But a quarter of a mile an hour can be the difference between a bait at the surface or the bait a few feet below.
Right.
So it's that's a tough call to say. but we are talking about just now, if you do find catfish, I'm going to say if mullet chunks are working, catfish chunks would work.
Yep.
I'm gonna.
I definitely wouldn't hesitate with catfish tails.
So, now, if you went over the tarpon page, you're going to see that what I did was I kind of marked out an area between 41 and I-75, yellow dots, 50-50. Because they're a little tricky to find. They've been there a lot, but they don't show themselves much.
No.
And once they, if they're not showing themselves, you don't know which way to go. And it's a pretty big area.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a couple miles from one to the other. And wide, almost a mile wide. So it's hard to tell where they would be if they don't show up. That's why I marked that 50-50 with the yellow dots. Now, jumping all the way out to Boca Grande Pass, you were saying something about I put a red dot and a yellow dot with the phosphate dock out there, Boca Grande Pass kind of in general. What's with the red and yellow dot?
I've been hearing a few fish there at the phosphate dock, and I'm sure there's always a few fish in the pass, so it's been hit or miss. But I think if you're coming from that area, it's worth stopping and looking for a little bit to see if those fish are there, but I wouldn't devote a lot of time to it. I would start heading your way back up into the upper harbor, because we do have a lot of customers that live down there by, you know, in Lemon Bay, Placida area, and they're going to put in there because it's probably more convenient. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't hesitate to look.
Now, I've got purple dots down on Punta Rasa, Mat Lachey, Cape Coral Bridge on the Caloosahatchee, 41 Bridge, because these are lit up areas at night, and you got a lot of shadow lines, and usually anticipating that brings in quite a bit of bait. You're probably going to have some decent early morning to nighttime fishing. I didn't do them yellow or red or white because these places are going to be best like during the dark hours or just before dark to an hour or two after dark.
Basically, when the sun's below the trees would be the places to examine.
2 hours before to 2 hours after, you know, 2 hours before dark all the way through the night and to 2 hours after sunup.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm getting with these purple dots there, because Mat Lachey has not been much during the day, but it should be producing pretty good at night. We know Punta Rasa is producing some of them at night, and up in the Caloosahatchee there is some. Now, it takes us up to Eljamin. Here we've got the purple dot and the yellow dot. Now, to me, that's the reason I did that was because the nighttime morning nighttime morning bite is pretty good there, but there is some fish going up there during the day.
Yeah.
So I put a colored dot there to give you, you know, if you're there and you find the fish, it's going to be pretty good. But if I just put the purple dot there, it doesn't kind of give it as justice because the fish are coming up there. Now, yellow dots at the mouth of the river, I didn't connect the dots from Eljamin out to the mouth because it doesn't seem like they show themselves through that stretch like they would either at the mouth or at Eljamin as much, and I don't know why.
Yeah, and the weird part is even when it's a normal tarpon season when they're just absolutely incredible, that seems to be a weird dead zone.
And it's really not.
There's plenty of fish there, but
there is a hole kind of in there, and I got to go back, and I'm going to take my boat out there to depth finder, and you know, I'm buying that new side scan for my boat so I can really start. I want to be able to go over some of this stuff and take pictures of the screen so you guys get to see some of the stuff. But there is a hole there that's actually really good fishing, and it's kind of just south of where you go into the locks for Gulf Cove, but it's across on the other side of the river, just a little south of that, more towards the harbor. But there's a good hole there, and it really catch a lot of fish, but I don't have the numbers on it anymore.
Right.
You know, I just know where it is. I got to go there, but I can't really, like, put a dot there. And,
yeah.
You know, I got to give people latitude and longitude, and that's one of the things I got to get out there and do. But now, once I hit the mouth, we kind of covered that whole upper area with yellow dots for a reason. And the 50-50 part of this is coming on because they could be over towards the west side. They could be up by marker 1. They could be over by marker 8. They could be all the way down to the Pirate Harbor hole, over by the reef. There's so many could-bes there, as Danny Latham was saying.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that there's fish scattered through that area. There's a few schools of fish, but they're working through that area. They're liable to be here, there, or the next place. But these are very, very likely spots to find the tarpon. And once you find them, I think you're going to do really good.
Right. Especially when you're dealing with hundreds of square miles of harbor it's nice to narrow it down to, you know, 10 or 20 square miles, you know. Makes it a, makes your run time a lot easier.
So, but most of it's along the holes, up to marker one, a little bit back and forth over towards the reef. But your best shots are really going to be between Alligator Creek, the reef out there, and Ponce de Leon Mangrove Point. I mean, it seems like that whole area kind of eddies up, and I've got kind of a straight line coming off Alligator Creek. But really that area out there, so you're going to have to get your boat up in there, shut down, become a hole in the water, and see what's
just
going on.
Just watch.
Just look.
Yeah, you'll see them either blow up, free jump, or roll. You know, that's my number one spot this time of year. Usually that beginning, middle of September, all the way through until sometimes the end of October. That's my favorite go-to spot. I'm always going to start right there, you know, basically just south of Ponce before Mangrove Whore Point, and work my way around and look real close along that whole area heading over towards Alligator Creek Reef.
And one of the weird parts about it is I find it's almost easier if I'm down in the boat looking more across the level of the water. When I get up, I'm kind of too broad-visioned.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way, and I don't know if it's for me the glare, too. I can pick up on them a little.
I know you're supposed to be able to see better for with the tower boats running for tarpon, right. And it does make sense because you can see farther. You're looking down.
In clear water, I can see that making helpful. But
I can honestly tell you, in the brown water, I don't bother getting up high.
Right.
I'm trying to look across the surface of the water. I'm thinking very, very Sesame Street. Which thing looks the same but different?
Right, exactly.
Which one of these waves looks like a wave but is not a wave,
right?
You know, and because that's what you're looking for when you're looking for rolling tarpon. You're literally looking for a white wash and maybe a glint of silver on it, but if there's a little bit of waves out there, a lot of them look like that.
Yeah,
you know,
there's one. Oh no, it's not.
Yeah.
No.
So, and I've been fooled by many, many different species of fish and stingrays and everything coming up to the surface, you know, to see stuff.
Yeah,
but anyway, I guess what it's all boiling down to, we've talked about the cut mullet, cut catfish. Ladyfish should be ideal if you can find them. Maybe one of the slower bait shops still might have a couple somewhere. I don't know.
Right.
Obviously, I don't usually go to other bait shops. But I think if you're going to go artificials, there was some weird squeaking going on. Yeah, okay. If you're going to go artificials, I might try a little trolling. And somewhere in that mix, I'm going to probably put a rattle trap, a bomber, maybe a... I don't know. I don't know what the other one would be. I know a 16 bomber. I'm going to have a rattle trap, either a bigger 3/4 ounce that might entice a tarpon, or even a smaller one that just to use as a teaser.
Right.
What would the other thing I would have out the back be?
Honestly, if I was probably going to do it, I'd probably have to go for one of those 9-inch spool techs, just because it's heavy and it's got a good thump to it.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking a toss between that and the Savage Trout.
I just, you know, it's just such an expensive bait. It's hard to, I have a hard time pushing expensive baits when there's cheaper baits that work so darn well.
Yeah, because you could actually use the Storm Swim Shad and accomplish the same thing for, you know, literally, I think they're like $6 for three. It's $2 a piece rather than $24 a piece.
Right, exactly. You know, but...
Well, I don't know if they're $24. They might be $16 or $18, but
either way,
a lot more.
Yeah, so they're either double or triple.
Yeah, way more. More than double.
Yeah.
More than double.
But, you know, Danny was doing very well on the bait buster. You know, he's
and that
always
might be the other one to troll.
Tried and true.
Just go back to the standard bait buster and just troll a bait buster.
Yeah.
That might be it.
Troll it or cast it.
That's, well, I was thinking about trolling because if I'm going to be looking through these different spots, idling along trolling, now not only am I looking for fish, I'm actually fishing.
You know what
fish.
I'm going to probably troll is that those new Rapalas with the single hooks on them.
Yeah, that might be it.
That might be a good one to, I mean, they work
one,
great for casting, but I think
they got the one out there that's supposed to have some kind of action in the water. I haven't been able to get it to do that myself, but they say trolling it will work. And no, I don't remember the model of it, but it's one of the new single hook ones. It's not the subwalk. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah.
It's they have one that's not a subwalk, and it's not the twitching one. And like their twitching mullet. What a wonderful bait. It looks as much like a mullet as I do. I mean, and I haven't had a mullet haircut in years, you know. Although there's picture evidence that I did.
Right, there's picture evidence of Kale with one, too.
Yeah, I actually never thought of it as a mullet. I didn't know that was actually a specific hairstyle.
Right.
So, anyway, that's how out of touch with reality I am. All right, getting back to it, trolling. And I'm going to say if you're trolling along and then you see fish, you know, what I would probably do, turn off the outboard because you're going slow to idle anyway. I would turn off the outboard and hit neutral. The only reason I do it in that order, I turn off and then I go to neutral, is because it lessens the impact of dropping the throttle. But if you just turn the boat off and just let it go, a lot of times your prop goes tick, 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 tick as you're slowing down. And I want to eliminate that by turning the key off and then hitting when the motor starts shutting down, then I'll go to neutral. It's a little softer shutdown than going to neutral, then turning the motor off.
Not as apt to spook the fish that way?
Not as apt. And I think both kind of will, but I think if you shut off and hit neutral, I think they're not as likely to go as far. I think they might just move a little bit, but they won't go as far.
Right.
And they may come right back up on the boat.
Gotcha.
You know, but a lot of times, you know, that going to neutral can really be more detrimental than just turning it off. Let's see. I don't know. It's going to be a tough tarpon thing, but anything else you can think of to talk about with this?
Nope. I would go out there and just start giving it a good old time while you can, because they've been so screwy all summer long, and now that we're getting a couple good reports, take advantage of it.
Yeah, I mean,
it could be gone tomorrow.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, today's what, Thursday? So,
yeah.
You know, this should stay good until the weather really changes. So, until the weekend, I'd say this is going to be pretty good until about Saturday. Yeah. And then we'll have to find out from there.
Yeah, then
we'll
just want to call down and get a fresh report.
What? Sorry about that. That great producer on this show. All right. So, anyway, what were you saying?
I would probably say if you're going to go out over the next several days, just give a call and get a fresh updated report. Find out if it's still happening.
Yeah. So, anyway, well, good luck, boys and girls. I think it's time to follow the advice.
Folks won't find us now because Mr. Satch and Mr. Cross, we gone fishing instead of just a wishing.
Bumble, baby, bumble, baby,
oh, yeah.